Hello and welcome to the Best Soccer Show. I'm Jason Davis. Normally, I'd be setting you up for our conversation this week with someone from the soccer world about some big American soccer topic. We'd do a deeper dive into that subject and also get Jared Dubois on the phone, and we'd have a conversation and make some jokes and have some fun and, you know, do our normal thing, the thing that you come to expect from the Best Soccer Show. That's not what this is going to be this week. In lieu of that, and in lieu of taking a deeper dive into American soccer, we on this program this week, in light of the news about our friend Daryl Grove from the Total Soccer Show, which is one of the elite American soccer podcasts, if not the best one ever made, and certainly one that is beloved, not just in the United States, but around the world, in light of the news that Daryl Grove has now moved into a hospice situation following his fight against cancer, with the word that the doctors have done everything that they can and there's nothing left, we here, Jared and I, thought it would be appropriate right to share with you some of our conversations with Daryl, some of the fun we got to have with him just earlier this year. Daryl is a good friend to both of us. I would say personally to me, I've had the opportunity to hang out with Daryl on a number of occasions, and he's always been as genuine a person as you could possibly find. And now that we know that things are coming to an end for Daryl, it is heartbreaking, and it is unfair, and it is difficult. And I don't really know what else to say beyond where we love you, Daryl. And we just want to pass along our best wishes and our love for you and for your wife and for your entire family. And in the spirit of thinking about better things, because Daryl certainly would want us to do that. Daryl would want us to enjoy soccer and have fun with it. We're going to share with you a show we did with Daryl and Taylor of the Total Soccer Show a couple months back, earlier in 2020, where we had some fun putting together a career mixtape for a couple of our favorites. Now, the original idea that Jared and I came up with was to pick five games for a player that represent the mix of his career, the good things from his career. You know, like a mixtape that you would get back in the day before we had all this newfangled technology where you could listen to music on your phone, where you actually had to go and dub a tape in order to get good songs on it. We picked five games for a player and called that his mixtape. We did it for Clint Dempsey back when we were doing the show as JD and the Rod. And after that, we decided that we wanted to get the Total Soccer Show guys involved, and we asked them to do it with us. One half of that show was a pop culture half, and one was a soccer half. The pop culture half is what you're about to hear, and it's Daryl and Taylor and Jared and I putting together a career mixtape for Tom Cruise, one of the A-list Hollywood actors of the last 40 years, a guy who we all know and whose movies we have all seen. So what you're about to hear is that episode of JD and the Rod before we became the Best Soccer Show again. Just four guys having some fun, talking about movies. If you do have some interest in finding the other half of this program, which was the Landon Donovan half, where all four of us made a mixtape for one of American soccer's greatest players, you can find that on the Total Soccer Show feed. I have to go all the way back to May, and those guys pump out shows, so a little bit of digging is necessary, but you can find it there if you'd like. We'll be back with our usual show next week, and we'll certainly be talking about some of the big stories in American soccer, the Champions League, with the Americans performing there, and Major League Soccer, and the U.S. Men's National Team. You know how we do. But for this week, for this episode, enjoy this. This is the career mixtape Tom Cruise with Daryl Grove and the guys from the Total Soccer Show.
You sure you're ready for this?
I'll do my best.
Your best? Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and f*** the prom queen.
Welcome to the Best Soccer Show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Welcome to a very special edition of JD and the Rod. We brought in a couple of friends of ours from Richmond, Virginia, the Total Soccer Show, because we want to have a little collab here, a little conversation in the career mixtape vein. Jared,
How did we miss out calling this the COVID collab?
Oh, it is. It's a COVID collab. Jerry Dubois with me, of course. And the boys, Daryl Grove. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, Jason. Hello, Jared.
And Taylor Rockwell.
Hello. Friends is the strong term. Jared is a friend. Jason, you're like you're an acquaintance. You're an associate,
okay,
I'd say.
Sure.
I also just waved when Daryl said hi and realized that this isn't a video show.
I appreciated it. It's very polite.
It's a soft F, Taylor. It's not a hard F. It's a soft F.
Oh, like the one I do with my wife.
Okay. No, it's too early and I don't have the soundboard, so we're not doing that.
Make sure I'll just do that on our half of the show.
Do you want me to do the soundboard? J. Rodius.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. We had some technical issues last week.
Danger zone!
And we did it ourselves. Yeah, that was good. That was a good one. I was going to intro this with a hello and welcome, and I didn't do it. Oh, I screwed it up already. It's okay.
It's hard, right, man. It's hard to do. It really is. When you're on the spot, like mine is always about 20% less enthusiastic than Daryl's. Daryl like throws me sometimes with how enthusiastic his is.
It took me a long time to build up to that. All right, so we are here together because Jared and I created this concept, the career mixtape. We unveiled it on our show a couple weeks ago, and we initially came up with. I want to tell the background on this,
especially for
people who maybe haven't heard it already. The background is that Jared talked about how he and his wife were going to watch a trio of Patrick Swayze movies on a Sunday, and they had some debate over what to call it. He wanted to call it a Swayze Sunday. She wanted to call it a Lazy Swayze Sunday. But either way, the idea was three movies.
Jared's right, by the way.
I agree.
Adding the extra is just too many.
I'm with you.
My wife doesn't pick up on the nuance of the fact that people would get to the fact that the lazy is Swayze is replacing the lazy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there we go.
Right. So the whole thing, and once we talked about the movies that he chose, he described kind of a journey, right? This is he wanted to start it at one point and finish at a certain point. And Jared went with, I think he started out with Point Break. He then went to Ghost.
Dirty Dancing.
And then Point Break again, I hope, because that's the correct
answer. Well, you got to realize that I was with my lady, so there was a way I wanted the night to end, so Ghost was the final
movie. Ghost was the final movie because he wanted to get there. And then how
doing
thinking,
pottery?
Like,
I'm assuming that was the end result?
We could call it that.
Nothing phallic, I hope. So the idea was obviously to get to, take a journey through Patrick Swayze movies. And I thought that sounds like kind of like a mixtape. Like you would... For people old enough, and I think Taylor and Daryl are old enough, you would put together a bunch of songs, and it would kind of have like a flow to it. You wouldn't just go.
Oh, you mean
with,
like a Spotify playlist?
Sure, exactly.
I'm joking. I did mixtapes people. On tape.
Mm-hmm. Everyone just hits shuffle. People have lost the nuance of mixtapes because everyone just hits shuffle now. Like,
yeah, it's
there
true.
Used to be a build, there used to be a flow, and people don't listen to albums anymore. They listen to singles. You know? So like finding that flow of finding like, oh, you gotta take a beat right here. You gotta turn it up a notch over here.
Dude, John Cusack in High Fidelity spells it out. Like he really does tell you how to make a mixtape, and it's pretty solid.
That is brilliant. And one day we're gonna do John Cusack for the career mixtape, and it's gonna be very meta. It's gonna come full circle.
I'm going to keep interrupting. He quietly is up there with Nick Cage, isn't he? As like a person who's made like 30 movies in the last 4 years and we don't know about any of them.
I think that might be true.
Sure, he's up there. He's one of those.
Yeah, that might be true.
He owns an island. He's got to put plumbing in, so he needs that money.
We took the idea and we rolled it into soccer. We wanted to have some fun with the Swayze thing, but we rolled it into soccer. And we did Clint Dempsey just for some fun. And the idea with a soccer player is essentially tell the story of a player's career. It can be chronologically if you want
as
it to be.
As you like to tell it.
But it can be however you want to tell it. Those moments, three moments. And the idea here is, just like Jared with his three movies on a Sunday, it should be something you can consume in one sitting. I don't want to make it, even make it
one
five.
One day, you take a bathroom break.
Okay, one day. If you do five games, nobody's sitting around and watching five games unless it's the World Cup and we're all just in geek mode. And nobody's probably watching five movies in a day unless you literally have nothing else to do with your quarantine life. So... we wanted to bring it here, and we've picked two subjects, one pop culture and one soccer, and we're going to start with pop culture, right? We're going to go with that
first.
The
pop culture half will be on our show and our feed. The soccer half will be on the Total Soccer Show feed.
Right. So if you're listening to this on the JD and the Rod feed and you're like, hey, where's the second half? Where's the soccer half? You go over to the Total Soccer Show and you find it, and they'll tell you later on to come to us for the
And
the
who's
pop
that
going to
be, by the way, Jason?
So the first half of this show, the pop culture subject, is none other than Thomas Maypother. I'm sorry, Tom Cruise. goes by Cruz for his stage name.
Why wouldn't
name.
You?
Wait, this is news to me. That's not his real name?
No, it is not his real name.
Wow.
No. Cruz is
very cool.
I knew
it wasn't his real name, but I didn't know what it was.
You didn't know it was Maypother?
No.
Okay.
That's like Donald Trump.
Can I tell you my favorite one of those ever is Michael Ironside. Can you guess what his real name is?
Aluminum Wall.
It's Frederick Ironside. Michael is the made-up part.
Do you want to know my favorite?
Yes,
my favorite. My favorite is Albert Brooks. Do you know Albert Brooks' real name?
Yes, no. Albert Einstein.
It is Albert Einstein.
Oh, that's Bob Einstein. That's right. I always forget this.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
There you go. All right, so we picked Tom Cruise.
A lot to live up to.
Now, we have not established an order for this, and Jared and I were discussing on how to do this fairly, because I think you don't claim a movie and then no one else can use it. It's not a draft.
No, no, no. I think everyone goes through and they say their number three, and if it overlaps with someone, when it gets to them, I mean, when we're talking about it, say, oh, that was my number two, or oh, that was my number one. There's no problem. I mean, we can not have to bury the lead to unveil. You know, if it's your movie, it's your movie, and if it's someone else's list, Tom Cruise, I think we're going to have less. I think both of these we have a chance to have not much overlap. Maybe Donovan has more, but I think we have less overlap in Tom Cruise.
Well, I think some of us are going to try to be a little contrarian, right? Look for those the movies and the games that might go unclaimed, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, in mine, in Tom Cruise, I chose to not tell a real story and do more. These are three movies I would like to sit down and watch in one sitting, which might be a bit of a cheat. Maybe someone's going for a story and they tell an arc, but I just went for three movies I'd like to see in a sitting.
Yeah, I did the same. I did the same.
Okay,
I thought that's what the brief was.
But there's a little popcorn. There's a little bit of popcorn to it.
It is, Daryl. But again, I think you want to be like, are you going to go? If you want to go hot, like you can go action, action, action with Tom Cruise if you want to. I'm not going to judge you for that. But if you want to like taste his other talents, that sounded very wrong.
Interesting way.
If you want to partake of his other acting ability,
then you have to Cruise.
You have to sign an NDA.
Yeah, you have to do that. All right, so this since we invited these guys, and since this is the pop culture half of the show, I think Taylor and Daryl should start first, Jared. I think that's only right, don't you?
Okay.
All right.
I said number three earlier. I'm sorry. The first movie you would watch. I apologize. Yes. I said that wrong.
I don't think Jared agrees that we should go first.
No. I apologize. I just realized I misstated the. There's no ranking here. I was saying it like it was a ranking, but the
it's
one you would watch first.
No.
This is why we don't let you go first, Jared. This is why right here.
I always make my woman go first.
All right, okay. Jason, who's first? Is it me or Tyler then? You're going to have to...
I've talked plenty. Daryl, why don't you go first?
Okay, he's giving it to you, Daryl. We'll do the kindness here.
Okay, I would kick things off with A Few Good Men.
Ooh. Okay, do you have a
it
reason for
It hurt me
this?
Not to put that in. It hurt me not to put that in.
So the reason is I think it represents, even though it's made in the early 90s, right? It represents that late 80s Tom Cruise where the deal is that he's charming, but maybe a little bit too cocky, but eventually he figures out how to have a heart about halfway through the movie, right? That's the story of A Few Good Men.
Okay, that may be the best Tom Cruise movie of all time. Just the best movie.
Ooh, I don't know. There could be some debate there.
That is a high bar. That's a great movie.
It is, but the Demi Moore factor is, I mean,
The best thing about that movie is they didn't fall into the trope of making them hook up and fall in love.
I feel like that might have been more their lack of chemistry than any sort of deliberate decision.
You have a choice to rewrite.
It's a recurring theme for him, I gotta say.
It's a good Tom Cruise movie, but it's an incredible ensemble cast too, Daryl.
Yes.
You get I think you get that, right? You get the
I'm assuming this is a heavy spoiler zone as well, right? For a movie from 1992, right?
Yeah.
So I can say my favorite moment is the Jack Nicholson moment. It's the famous moment that everyone sees, right? But
sure.
You only ever see the Jack Nicholson, you want the truth part. But what's really interesting is the build-up to that, where you see that Tom Cruise realizes the only way to win this case is to essentially goad Jack Nicholson into saying that and incriminating himself. It's a magnificent. I'm not normally a fan of courtroom dramas, but this really worked for me.
Well, it didn't feel like a courtroom drama. I mean, obviously, it's a naval thing. You know, it's a court martial. Yeah. It's not the same as a civil or a criminal case. But it, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about the ensemble cast. So Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore,
the guy who steals it. Is Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm-hmm. Kiefer Sutherland?
Sleeper, like, he's
he plays,
so good
he
in
plays
that movie.
Angry Psycho really convincingly. I wonder how that happens.
Kevin Bacon, right?
Yeah. Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak. There you go. Yeah, two Kevins. Double the Kevin. Okay, that's a good
Wiley
opening.
Is Noah Wiley in there, I think? It's a weird one. It's a
Noah Wiley is in there.
It's also, it's a great combo of Aaron Sorkin dialogue, which I'm always a fan of if it's done right. Yeah. And then it's handled by, I believe it's Rob Reiner directs this movie, right? Doesn't direct that many movies, right, but Rob Reiner's for real whenever he directs something.
Do you know his directorial style for this movie?
No.
I think
it's basically, it's like turn the camera on and let the people who are good at acting be good at acting.
It kind of is that, right? Yeah. That's one reason I disagree with Jared in calling this like the best Tom Cruise movie, because it's not very cinematic, right? It's almost more like a play. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a play.
If you are cinematic, you go with Far and Away, but I don't think any of us put Far and Away on this list. You know?
Hey, wait a second.
You don't know. Flawless accent.
Wait a second. Okay. Yeah.
I'm from Ireland, I am.
So, by the way, anyone else have a few good men on their list?
I crossed it out at the last moment.
I do. Oh. I do, but I don't want to give it away yet because I have a thing I'm going to give. Okay,
I had a few good men initially, and then I realized it doesn't really hold that much resonance to me. It's more the movie that I'm entirely certain my father based, like, his life on, or felt like was based on him. My dad is a lawyer, now a judge, but he was a JAG officer.
Oh, I thought he was a colonel.
He's a major. There you go. Yeah, but it didn't really resonate for me one of the three movies that I watched like on repeat when I was like 10 to 12 thereabouts, because my parents are great parents, is Days of Thunder. Ooh, and I'm going Days of Thunder to start.
That's an upset. I considered it. I love that movie for reasons I'm not sure I quite understand.
I know why. Sweet Little Packets on the Thigh.
Yeah, his female lead that he maybe again has questionable chemistry with that he ends up marrying. It's amazing. How are you not gonna have chemistry with the woman that you're supposed to fell in love with?
Let me out of the car, Cole.
You've got John C. Reilly in there, like basically playing the Talladega Nights character before he can do that. You've got Robert Duvall. It's how I knew not to trust Carrie Elwes ever. Carrie Elwes, the bad race car driver, but also Michael Rooker, the other bad race car driver, who's
Michael
a southern
Rooker's
psycho.
Really good in stretching that. I love Michael Rooker in that film.
And I think, I don't remember if that was post or pre Robin Hood Men in Tights, but the whole Carrie Elwes playing an American thing was weird, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe it was the other way around, and I heard him speak in his normal accent. Like, what? No, he's a race car driver.
What was the Carrie Elwes movie with Alicia Silverstone where he was older and she was younger? The Crush.
Oh, yeah.
I did not mind that movie.
Okay.
Because that was Alicia Silverstone after Clueless, right? Or it was after Clueless?
Yeah.
That was Days around Batman or Robin era, I think.
Now, how
many... I like it from a number one standpoint, because that gets your day off right. You know, accelerators.
You know what? I always
pumped up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I always enjoyed the race scenes. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan. I've watched a couple races. My dad would fall asleep in front of races on a Sunday or whatever, but I liked the way that they filmed it. It felt, you know, visceral and intense, and they did a good job of like conveying that energy.
Give Me Some Lovin'. It's my introduction to that song, which is the best. It still is like my favorite driving song. That's the one. But I also, Jason, to your point, I think, as I said, I've watched this between 20 and 50 times, none in the last maybe 20 years. It is also about 90, it accounts for like 99% of the NASCAR I've ever seen in my life is this movie. I don't think I've ever seen a race ever. I've seen like cars
about it,
occasionally.
Though, if you think about it, with the slingshot maneuver that they take so much time to explain is just a reverse of the Top Gun hit the brakes and let them fly right by.
You know what? It kind of is, right? It kind of is. Now, what's interesting about that movie, except for Robert Duvall, and a couple of characters, they didn't make it overly southern twangy kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Talladega Nights takes the
piss out of
it. A lot
of mellow yellow in that movie.
Mm-hmm. There is, but what I'm saying is like you don't get this vibe that it's like making fun of the southern driving culture thing, you know.
And Robert Duvall does justice to it, I think.
Yeah, I guess. All right, that's a fine choice.
The man was born for that role.
I have not seen Days of Thunder.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm gathering that it's not about weather; it's about NASCAR. But what's the actual plot? Like, what is Tom Cruise up against?
He's an Indy driver who like transitions NASCAR. To NASCAR.
Oh yes,
yeah. It's like, and that's the whole thing is that there's like a certain way of driving. See, I am convinced.
Is that
I also have an idea.
11-a-side.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, basically. And I have a theory, like, Daryl, you kind of hit on it already, that Tom Cruise is good in, like, three types of roles. And this is the first one. It's A Few Good Men as well. It's basically a charismatic dummy who's actually very smart. That's pretty much what... It's always like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And I, like, A Few Good Men. It's like, I settle all the time. I don't really want to go to court. But then he learns how to do it. This is the same where he's all arrogant.
And by the way, Daryl doesn't know this. Taylor, can you tell him what the name of his character is in that movie?
Oh, that'd be Mr. Cole Trickle.
Cole Trickle.
You're damn right. It's Cole Trickle.
By the way, that's funny by itself, but there was a legitimately a NASCAR driver at the time who obviously they took the name from. His name was Dick Trickle.
Yes, it was.
Come on.
Dick Trickle.
Yep.
We might get an explicit tag just for talking NASCAR.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Penis Johnson was over the line, though. They didn't need to make that one, but they went for it anyway.
All right, Days of Thunder. Jared, I'm going to give you
38% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. So.
Ooh, that's rough. I enjoyed it. That's rough. Go ahead.
All right, so mine, I decided to start. Okay, first of all, I'm going to let you know right now. Two of my movies, Tom Cruise is not the main character in. So cool. Once again, I went for Tom Cruise movies that I wanted to watch. So my first one is The Outsiders.
Okay.
I love that movie. I love the book. So for me, like I said, in no way is Tom Cruise carrying that movie, but if you're going to tell the story of Tom Cruise a bit too, the way this all came together, the amount of talent in this movie, and I just think I enjoy the story. I enjoyed Matt Dillon in this movie so much. I think Ralph Macchio, obviously amazing in this movie. So I just, for me, it's something I like watching. It's something I was telling my kids about the other day. My oldest wants to watch it really badly right now after describing it to him. I was like, no, I'm not going to let you watch this movie before you read the book. So
you know,
you're
reaching back. Okay, first of all, it's not a Tom Cruise starring vehicle, and you're reaching back a little bit. And I'm wondering, out of the four of us, how many people have seen The Outsiders? Have we all seen The Outsiders?
I have a vague memory of it. Is it Stay Golden, Pony Boy?
Yes,
is that
that's the one.
I can't, but I can't tell you anything else about it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
It's
the same
required. It's required reading, though. You still read the book, right? It was for us. It was required reading in high school.
Not in the United Kingdom, okay, of Great Britain, Northern Ireland.
Am I the only person that really remembers this movie? Because if not, I'm going to go a little bit further.
It has it. Swayze in it, right? I feel like you're just extending the Swayze, here's movie marathon.
So here's the people that are in this movie. Patrick Swayze, Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, Tom Cruise, Matt Dillon, C. Thomas Howe, Ralph Macchio. Like, all these guys are in this movie, and it's amazing. It launched the careers of everyone. Not one of these guys was a star already when this
movie
came out.
It's a Brat Pack movie. It's like one of the original Brat Pack movies. Yeah.
And it's just an amazing storytelling, and I just love it. Every time I almost find myself crying when Ralph. I'm going to give spoilers if you guys don't remember much about it. But.
I'm going to go watch the Outsiders right now?
All I was going to say is that I love Matt Dillon in this movie, too. I absolutely love
that. I came across it. I think I came across it randomly like a couple years ago, but I don't remember a ton about it.
It's such a heavy bit of memory for me watching this over and over again growing up.
I have an extremely hot take. Matt Dillon, the better of the Dillons. Just throwing that out there. Hot take.
The other one being
Johnny Drama. That's it.
Oh, Johnny Drama. I totally forgot about his brother in Entourage.
Oh, all right. Well, that brings it to me. We've got a classic drama. I guess you could call it that. We got a sports movie, kind of The Driving. We got the esoteric choice from the original. You know, the beginning of his career. I'm just gonna go with the massive blockbuster and go Top Gun to start. I don't know why you guys
are way to start your day,
avoiding
man.
This, but Top Gun. And I'll tell you what. He was a Navy pilot, which took a little bit of the shine off, but I was an Air Force brat, and so planes and flying and military, that was all part of my upbringing. Like, my dad was in the Air Force, so, you know, I was very much... Now, I may think that Iron Eagle was the better movie.
I was going to say, if you have to pick one of the two, which one are you picking?
I'm still picking Top Gun. It's far and away a better movie than Iron Eagle, but come on, I had a soft spot for Iron Eagle for obvious reasons. But man, it's so much of, and look, I understand that there's, you know, the homoerotic stuff in there that you could pick out, and
that's
why
I'm picking it.
There's kind of weird, you know, it may be even problematic in some places. I don't recall all of them.
I can tell you, I almost burned through the cassette tape of the soundtrack as a kid, man.
Yeah.
I listened to Kenny Loggins. Yeah. I mean, it's got a great soundtrack to it. I mean, great-ish.
It was,
but still,
it was
so good.
It was sexy without being like over the top gratuitous with all of that. So as a, you know, as a kid, especially seeing it, it's like,
playing
with
the boys.
You can decide when like the main theme is like straight up just porn music, right?
That's a good point.
So Jason, you must be psyched for Maverick.
We talked about the trailer. Man. I actually dig the way that they're going with this. I actually think.
So are
that
they
that,
shelving it, or are they going to release that to like Netflix or something
that's
like that?
That's a good question.
Because it was supposed to be out soon. I'm not sure when.
I haven't looked it up.
I've been paying attention to a lot of movie podcasts, and apparently the big thing that's going on is any of the big like tentpole blockbustery movies, they're going to hold those back because it's just, there's just too much money at stake to not have a theatrical release. Whereas like smaller movies that maybe weren't going to do so well, those will go video on demand. So I don't think we'll get, from what I'm hearing, obviously third hand, we're not going to get Maverick on Netflix or iTunes before it's in theaters.
I would like to thank Hollywood for making that move, putting kids' movies on VOD for $20. And so my kid comes to me and goes, hey, Dad, can we get this movie? No, I'm not buying that for $20. Are you crazy?
Here's the thing he's saying being said in my house. Cheaper than the movie theater.
That's actually a good point. That's a good point.
And the popcorn's not $12.
Can we go back? We go back to the volleyball scene for a moment, though? Not even just to talk about it, because it's like it's been discussed. At length. Yeah, I just want to know, like, it has to be cocaine that explains that scene. Like, I don't understand why else people would settle on like jean shorts, shirtless, oiled up beach volleyball. Tom Cruise is 5'4".
I've got a better crossover question for you.
Where are you crossing over to?
If you were going to make a U.S. national team volleyball montage on the Top Gun, what four players would you pick to watch shirtless, oiled up, play volleyball,
My top seed is Aguchi Onyewu.
Yes, that instantly came to my mind.
Tim Howard's up there for me.
Yeah,
so that's a lot of tattoos. I don't know. That's a lot of tattoos.
That's why you want him shirtless.
What are you, Alexi Lawless all of a sudden? Too many tattoos for you?
I would go later career Landon Donovan. Do you remember when there was that rumor that we all thought
We're not talking about soccer or volleyball because he's pretty low.
Volleyball, but here's why. Do you remember there was that thing where it looked like he'd put on a little bit of weight and everyone was saying Donovan's not fit? But we never actually saw what was going on, right? We just saw with the jersey on. I want definitive proof, and this would do it. If you oil him up, there's nowhere to hide if you're oiled up.
Well, you need a fourth, right? We need a fourth here. Who's the fourth?
I was thinking Jermaine Jones. That's who I had in mind.
Oh, okay. That's a good Bruce Arena. Jermaine Jones is a good one. You could go young, you know, Stuart Holden in his early days. Heartthrob Stuart Holden. He kind of fits the vibe.
I want Donovan and Holden versus like Onyewu and Jermaine Jones.
One side spiking, one side digging all the time.
Somebody's getting two-footed under the net. I can guarantee that. That's absolutely happening.
All right, so that's the first round. Should we go reverse order for the second round? Round to Daryl?
Is anyone else bringing Top Gun back up?
I am.
Okay, I've got one more thing I want to talk about Top Gun later then.
Okay. All right, we'll save that.
It is my number two, so I can go next then if we can stay on it. Top Gun is my number two.
Okay.
Obviously, I started with a pretty heavy storyline in The Outsiders, so I needed something to bring the level back up after going... I start off pretty murky and pretty deep. So
pretty dark,
I had to do something to bring the mood back up and get the heart
back
going.
Goose dies, so I don't know. Are you really doing us any favors?
In the middle of the movie, though, so it doesn't end that way.
Okay.
Outsiders doesn't really end on an upper much either, you know? So.
Can I just say Meg Ryan before we move on? Thank you. Okay, please, go ahead. Meg Ryan.
What do you got, Daryl?
Oh, so the big thing is, this isn't Top Gun's fault, but I can't take Top Gun seriously because as a kid, I saw Hot Shots first.
What?
And so because I saw Hot Shots and I was like, oh, this movie's amazing. And I kind of was young and dumb enough to think of it as almost like I thought it was a real action movie.
That's like seeing indoor soccer. That's like you saw indoor soccer all your life growing up. Then one day someone showed you outdoor soccer. You're like, what's this bastard version over here?
This isn't even half as good.
Why are there 22 guys out there?
Look, Jared can maybe relate to this a little bit, but I'm noticing that my kid has consumed a bunch of culture secondhand and through parody and through references and not the original stuff. So he'll know lines from a movie. He'll know something and I'll go, oh yeah, where'd you hear that from? He's like, oh yeah, it was on The Simpsons. I'm like, no, there's a movie that's from. Yeah. You should see the movie. And
my kid came up to me the other day and he goes, hey, what's the Sawsanks Redemption? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, in Fortnite, there's this wall that leads to a tree, and people are saying it's from a movie called... I go and look. Sure enough, they've recreated the wall with the volcanic gas and a tree in the middle of Fortnite, and that's how he learns about Shawshank Redemption.
Amazing. Yeah, that's crazy. All right.
Daryl, I had that same experience with... do you remember Loaded Weapon, a movie that I don't know if it still exists?
Yes.
But I saw that before Lethal Weapon, so I was like, oh... Well, that's what Lethal Weapon's like based on. Like, not the other way around at all.
Who's in Loaded Weapon?
It is Emilio Estevez and Samuel Jackson, I believe.
Yes, I have seen that. Mm-hmm. Yes, a long time ago.
Featuring prominently already.
There was a run in the 90s where there was a lot of those over-the-top Zucker Brothers type parodies. Yeah. All right. Who's up? Who's number two? You took Top Gun, Jared. Who's number two? Who's going next?
I can go reverse order.
Shouldn't it be Jason next?
Okay, then it's me, right? Is that what we're doing?
It's snake draft.
Snake order,
okay. Yeah, we're going snake door. Okay. Now, my original concept here, because I'm going on a journey, my original concept, and I didn't necessarily want to hit like emotional beats, but I wanted to kind of have something. And I was thinking like, all right, I'll do Air with Top Gun. and I'll do land. And my land, I was thinking Days of Thunder, but I'm not.
Far and away.
Taylor kind of. That was the one, but I haven't seen it, okay? And oh, I don't think I want a big epic, sweeping epic. I'm going to go with Jerry Maguire, okay? I'm not mad at you.
I thought about it.
It's not a class. To me, it's not a classic Tom Cruise movie. It's weird. It's got all those interstitial, you know, the real agent jumps in to give his thoughts. It's super weird. I'm not even a big Renee Zellweger fan. And if we're honest,
too, how many of us are really going to watch three movies in their house without watching with their significant other either? So you got to throw something like that in there, you know? Yeah,
it's got the love story.
My wife's not sitting around for three Tom Cruise action movies, I'll tell you right now.
Okay, yeah.
Jason, I feel like you're slightly embarrassed of this. I want to tell you, this is on my list. This is absolutely on my list, and I'm 100%
I'm not embarrassed by the... I think it's a good movie. I just think it doesn't... If you're talking about like classic Tom Cruise, I don't know that it, but maybe that's why it included.
The kid breaks your heart.
Yeah, you include it because it shows that other side of Tom Cruise. And, you know, Daryl, you were talking about the Few Good Men scene that everybody knows. It's, you know, it's Show Me the Money and him going crazy and all of that. And it was like, you know.
Tom Cruise has better chemistry with that kid than any female lead.
He does. He does in that. In general, he does.
But that's the point of the movie, though, right? That's why I think this is really fascinating, is he ends up in that relationship with Renee Zellweger. And it's kind of clear, like, for two-thirds of the movie that he likes the kid more than he loves Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
That's a great, like, that's the first time I'd ever seen a thing on screen where it's sort of a romantic movie, but the romance doesn't quite work. And not because it's bad acting, it's part of the story that the romance doesn't quite work. I found that really... really real. Like, the girlfriend I was with at the time, we didn't get married in the end. Like, I know what it was like to not have a relationship that was quite right, you know?
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. And look, if just as an American who grew up watching football, there's the football part of it that appeals to me. And Jerry O'Connell, pretty funny in that movie. And obviously, Cuba Gooding Jr., fantastic. So, yeah, I'm going Jerry Maguire. Right?
Didn't he get Academy Award for that?
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
I think he might have. Doesn't he?
Yeah, might have.
I think he won it that year.
Though. All right, so that would bring us to Taylor, right?
It would. So I do think, so as I said, there's like three categories. That is the other category for Tom Cruise for me, or the third one, was person reacting to their world falling apart. And he does that either in like action movies where he's been betrayed by the government, or Jerry Maguire when it's like he has like the meltdown. I think Vanilla Sky kind of has a meltdown.
Yes.
He does that really, really well. But I have that one as my third movie because the other thing he seems to do very, very well is play a convincing psychopath.
Okay.
It can be like... maybe he's a motivational speaker, or like just kind of a weird person. Maybe he's the dude from Tropic Thunder who's screaming at people. But I have gone for Collateral. Collateral would be my second one, where he is the hitman Vincent with Jamie Foxx. It's the Michael Mann movie.
Right?
Yeah, where basically Jamie Foxx is a cab driver. If people haven't seen it, Daryl's making a face. That's
I haven't seen it.
It's beautiful, beautifully shot.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen the whole thing. I may have seen part of it.
It's Michael Mann. Jamie Foxx is a cab driver in L.A. and he picks up this like fare, which is Tom Cruise, and then you very quickly realize that Tom Cruise is a hitman who he's basically paying Jamie Foxx to drive around.
And surprisingly, he acts Jamie Foxx under the table in that movie. He's really good in that movie.
He's really good in that movie.
And Michael Mann makes a love story to L.A. when he makes that kind of movie. I mean, L.A. at night, he is amazing at shooting L.A. at night.
There's the Tom Cruise as a psycho, but there's also the Tom Cruise as a badass. And I'm not sure, like, he's cool as Maverick and he's cool as a lot of these characters, but I wasn't sure he could be like an edgy badass. Not like Mission
Ethan
Impossible.
Hunt?
Hunt. No, I don't mean like action hero. I mean like... can he be a mean character?
Menacing, yeah. Can he be menacing?
That's a good way.
Like I joked before, he is pretty small, and he does the thing in this movie that like Keanu Reeves does. I actually haven't seen the John Wick movies, which I know is probably blasphemous. But like we've seen that like the footage of Keanu Reeves like doing the shooting drills and stuff to get really efficient, and Tom Cruise did the exact same thing to the point where like I feel like I've seen it written that like they use the way he kills the two people who are trying to rob him, where he just like pulls his gun really, really efficiently as a way that you should actually defend yourself if you're using a gun. Like that's the level. Yeah. Of detail.
Did he
have
silver hair in that movie too?
He does have silver hair and a silver suit.
I don't think anybody's taking Jack Reacher, but I kind of got the, you know, that's the same vibe, right?
Yes.
It's menacing Tom Cruise. And you're like, wow, I didn't know he could be like the guy who walks into the bar and punches the dude straight in the face and, you know, can do. I didn't know.
I noticed some suggestion or some like thought that maybe Tom Cruise isn't a good actor. Did when someone said like they were surprised that he acted Jamie Foxx off the screen?
I don't think you think of him as one of our top actors. Jamie Foxx has an Academy Award, you know, like.
Well, yeah, but he was also – that's from his from a biopic, which I think is kind of a cheat code a little bit.
Tom Cruise did a biopic in Ford of the First of July. He got nominated for one.
He got nominated for Academy Award. I think Tom Cruise is a good actor, but I also think Tom Cruise plays –
He got nominated for Rain Man, too.
He can be very hammy. He can be very – you know, there's some of these movies where it's like, all right, tone it down,
If
Tom.
I was going to put money on Jamie Foxx or Tom Cruise, though, I would probably pick Jamie Foxx. That's what I'm saying there.
All right. All right.
And, Daryl, the other thing for me is just that, like, to be honest, I don't really like Tom Cruise that much. I didn't grow up on some of the movies that I think help you really enjoy Tom Cruise. Like Top Gun, I didn't see until I was, like, in high school, I think. And instead, you hear so much about his personal life, and like there's the Oprah thing, there's the Matt Lauer thing, and so for me, like I can't kind of shake that baggage, and so he's not an actor that I like am ever like, yay, Tom Cruise! I want to see what Tom Cruise is doing. There's only a few movies where I feel like I'm like that, and that's kind of what I have as my list. It's not like an actor I necessarily enjoy.
I kind of feel like his weight as an actor isn't like compared to some of his contemporaries or some of the actors we think as elite, like Tom Hanks, like. Tom Hanks has a gravity about him that I don't think Tom Cruise does. I don't know why.
There's a likability that he has.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it, I guess. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Tom Cruise still exclusively the female lead is always a woman who is now like reaching 30 years younger than him in every single one of his movies. Like Tom Hanks at least usually has like an age appropriate wife and like can be out of shape for movies.
Well, that's because Tom Hanks is every man and Tom Cruise is never going to be able to play every man. That's a good point. Daryl, go ahead.
So it was going to be Jerry Maguire. But I think we already talked at length about Jerry Maguire. We talked about how it's like a man with his world falling apart. We talked about how it's like desperate Tom Cruise, which I think is a really interesting thing to see. But instead, I'm going to make a late substitution and pick up on something Taylor said. I think, Taylor, unless you have this on your list, you made a reference to Magnolia, right?
I did, and I don't.
You did and you don't. All right. I think Magnolia is definitely worth having on there as a weird Tom Cruise performance, not the performance most people
expect. Wait, did he get nominated for that too?
I don't know if he did.
I don't know.
A lot of people did in that.
But I mean, I'm going to say Academy Awards are not the thing to be judging people by because it's just so political and not really worth using as a metric.
I agree, but now I'm starting to wonder if I was insulting him a bit by saying Jamie Foxx was so likely to outact him.
Oh, you mean former stand-up comedian Jamie Foxx?
Yes.
Versus professional actor Tom Cruise?
Well, no.
Well, see, no, come on. You got Jim Carrey, Steve Carell.
I mean, he wins an Oscar for Ray. Let's remember that. But also, like, Jamie Foxx is a good actor.
All he did was close his eyes and play piano.
Were his eyes really closed? He has sunglasses on.
Yeah, you don't know.
He didn't even go the full way. He didn't even go all in.
But he's so charismatic. Method. Jamie Foxx is like genuinely this very affable, likable person, at least in the movies, at least in like the movies that I've seen of him.
Oh, they share Katie Holmes.
What's that?
They share Katie Holmes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes.
I have no idea.
What?
Yes, they were together for like the last 2 years. They were really sly. They were not allowed. They never took pictures in the media or paparazzi or anything like that, but they were together for like two years.
What? I had no idea. Yes. But I think him playing like the very predatory, very scary guy, but it's not a big performance. Like he's definitely intimidating and frightening, but I think it's like Tom Cruise does like action, like I'm yelling at you very well. Even A Few Good Men, like his best scenes are when he is yelling very loud. Yeah. To be just very quietly frightening is not a thing I think he does very well, but in that movie he definitely does.
100% agree. Yeah, if people haven't seen Magnolia, which I'm guessing
Collateral still, but yeah. Oh, sorry. Magnolia too.
So I want to see Collateral now. That's a movie
He does the quiet threatening thing really well in Collateral.
So if anyone hasn't seen Magnolia, he essentially plays a guru who teaches like men how to get women, but in a really like gross, predatory
pickup artist. Yeah.
Did he have the first man bun in that movie? Is that the start
Yes,
of the
he had
man
a man
bun.
Oh, yeah, he's like horrible and terrifying. It's very, very un-Tom Cruise. To
so
the point
we can
where
blame
My elder sister and brother-in-law were like they loved Tom Cruise movies, so they borrowed that from me, and they called me afterwards and were just horrified at what they'd seen.
Like, we can blame Gareth Bale on him.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
All right, Jason, did you give your number two?
I did, yeah. Yeah, okay. We went back around the other way. Okay.
Yeah. Right, so number ones. I'm sorry. Last movies.
Why do you keep doing that?
It's in my head. I don't know why it's in my head.
Daryl, if we're snaking, I think we're still with Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl's gonna give his third choice here.
Okay, then Minority Report. Cruise and Spielberg together. It's actually a man with his whole world falling apart.
Is it a good movie?
Yes.
I think so.
It's fun, right? It's an exciting movie.
I like it. I don't know how people feel about it.
So actually, I reread the plot description, like just ready for tonight. And reading the plot, I was like, this movie sounds terrible. This movie sounds insane. But what I remember from watching it is the, I don't know if you call them action sequences. Yeah, they are action sequences, but tense sequences. Like when he's in the bathtub, I think he's in a bathtub after he's had his eyes switched out and removed. And there's those weird little spider robots that are searching for him. So tense. I mean, you know he's going to be okay, right? Because it's Tom Cruise. He's not going to die halfway through the movie. But the tension is always ratcheted up in this way that I find really terrifying and convincing and just enjoyable. It's like an adrenaline rush. Yeah. So I remember really enjoying that movie and being really impressed with the sort of future world sci-fi stuff that I think is almost here anyway.
He hired a bunch of
futurists. We've done three movies
for
one person, three movies for one person, two movies for three people. None of us is at Mission Impossible yet. I mean, granted, we still got time, but really, we went on this far already, and not one of us is doing a Mission Impossible yet. So that being said, I'm just really throwing that there. That's the franchise.
I may have thoughts about it if you want to get there eventually.
We'll see if it goes around.
All right, Taylor. Your last movie.
Man,
You're finishing strong.
I forgot about Minority Report. I hate eyes. Eyes freak me out. So I'm very fortunate I don't wear contacts because I'd be in trouble. I forgot about that scene. But that's a good movie. But I've gone.
Hold on. Did you just humble brag about your perfect eyes? Is that what just happened here?
No, I'm actually, it's the other way around. I said this like to Margaret, my wife, before that like, I wish I had grown up needing glasses because there's going to come a time when I will. And I already like, I can't put drops in my eyes. I like have to do it from here and it like hits my forehead. I'm like, that's close enough. So having to do that when I'm like 60, I'm in trouble. It's not going to happen. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of like Coke bottle lenses.
You're like, I don't need contacts. I'm like, whoa, great eye guy. Okay.
I have gone a similar route with Daryl. Like mine are chronological, not necessarily intentionally, but the last thing I think he does really well, is the person with their world falling apart. I also think he does sci-fi really well. I have gone for Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat, All You Need Is Kill, whichever title you want to go with. That is
I didn't know that last one, man.
So that's what the graphic novel is, I think, is All You Need Is Kill, and then they made it Edge of Tomorrow, and then they felt like Edge of Tomorrow
didn't explain it
enough. You didn't?
It's magnificent.
No, and I love sci-fi, and I didn't see it. Yeah,
It's a weird combination of Groundhog Day meets Saving Private Ryan meets, I guess, like Independence Day, maybe something like that.
I don't know.
Is
Emily Blunt in that one with him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's a badass in that movie.
Yeah, it's Doug Liman who did, I think, like the Bourne movies. But he
and Swingers, Swingers credit.
And Swingers, course, and Swingers, yeah.
But he does like he's just constantly overwhelmed from beginning to end because it begins like it's not a spoiler really, but like basically there's like aliens are about to like destroy the rest of Europe or whatever. It's the last battle, and he goes from being like a failed PR guy. He's like a failed officer, which I like to think is the continuation of his A Few Good Men character. That now he's failed so hard that he's basically like enlisted in the first minute. And you have no idea what's happening. He dies, but then he gets resurrected, and it's a sort of Groundhog Day loop, and it's
I never quite understood. Just like with every time travel movie, there's that little bit of you know, you suspend your disbelief and you just go with it.
I think they were like rewriting it as they were shooting it. I think it really shows, but it's still pretty fun.
I didn't. Yeah, the mechanism for the travel for the reset was kind of unclear. There was like a queen.
You
version?
Kill. It's the alpha. It's like a specific type of alien that if you kill. I forget what its significance is, but
the blood
allows you to relive
or something,
the same day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, all right. Edge
but
of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, and
like
Emily Blunt is basically what then like moves Emily Blunt in my mind into that action star of like A Quiet Place sort of.
I will say this: obviously, Emily Blunt is a major part of it. She carries some of it for him, but to have to sort of reset and do that over and over and over again in a 2-hour movie, whatever it is, that's a lot to carry as an actor.
Yeah.
And he does a really good job of it.
And again, because he's like completely confused by all of it, and then he has to kind of relive it and figure out how to like get to her, and he dies a whole bunch of times along the way. It's probably my favorite of his movies.
I absolutely love it. It was almost on my list instead of Minority Report, and I almost just sort of flipped a coin to.
Yeah, that's a sci-fi coin flip. Yeah, go ahead, Jared.
Okay, so this is my other one where he is not the main character in, and I wanted to have some fun at the end and to speak to what Taylor was saying about he's good at being loud. He's actually good at being menacing, but did any of you guys know he was good at dancing? So I went with Tropic Thunder. Where
It got a mention. Got a mention earlier.
Yeah. Tropic Thunder. First of all, it's a fun movie. I mean, a movie I'm not sure you can make now with Robert Downey Jr. But his that took me aback so much. And they didn't talk about him being in this movie at all leading up to it. Like, it was a surprise. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. If you saw it, like, in the first weekend, you didn't know that was coming, that he was Les... Yeah. What was his name? I can't remember his name.
Les Grossman.
Les Grossman. And remember, I was thinking, like, is that Tom Cruise in a fat suit? And then he starts moving, and he was legitimately funny. Mm-hmm. The first time I can ever remember Tom Cruise being legitimately funny and playing a character different than every other character you've ever associated with Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Well, I don't think he'd ever done makeup, like he'd never done prosthetics like that before, as far as I'm aware.
I mean, he sat on his legs in Born on the 4th of July. That's as close as they came to it.
That's true. Like, but
Interview with a Vampire is the only other one that I remember him wearing like that's a lot of makeup.
He puts have you guys not seen Vanilla Sky? He messed up his face real bad in Vanilla Sky.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about the Vanilla. Vanilla Sky is a trippy movie.
That was almost on my list, actually, because it is so weird.
I'm a big fan of that movie, too. All right. So
Tropic Thunder for me. I wanted to end my day having a good time.
Okay. I'm going to do the same, but I'm going to go all the way back to not the beginning,
you're going
pretty damn close. No, that's a dumb movie that I almost considered. I'm going Risky Business. I'm just going to go with the teen sex romp, okay?
I mean, I heard that described as a comedy recently. I don't remember it being a comedy.
Well, you have the friend, the comic relief, who is, you know, kind of meant to be that. And I mean, it's got Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
In the 80s. Come on.
Joey Pants with hair.
Joey Pants with hair. It's a great Chicago movie, and I'm a fan of Chicago. So I never lived there. I've never been there as a kid, but it was like, oh, that's what Chicago is like. It's like.
And it was the female was the one from, the female actress was the one from Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Rebecca De Mornay. Yeah.
Yeah.
By
and
the way.
Backdraft. Let's all quote Backdraft. Yeah. Let's be real.
Who later showed up in Wedding Crash. With the new drop I just added to our show, you shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
That's right.
Love that line.
That's her and it's not Lyle Lovett. It's the other. It's the other.
I made the same
Dwight
mistake
Yoakam.
When we talked
Dwight
about
Dwight Yoakam.
I said Lyle Lovett too.
Yeah. All right. Is that it? Are we through the whole thing?
Has Tom Cruise?
Is Tropic Thunder the only time he's been funny?
He was in
Jerry Maguire company, right? A little bit. I mean,
he was in Austin Powers, right? Wasn't he in Austin?
He was.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
He was in that. Yeah, but
my question still stands.
Wait, are you talking about intentionally funny, right? Okay.
Exactly. It's not really a thing he does, is it?
No, it's not. And that would be really, you know, you'd be casting him against type. And when people go to the movies to see Tom Cruise, and you know, Jared, we did get through the entire list and no Mission Impossible movies, which there's some good ones.
If I was going to tell his story of his career, I would put it in there. But for me, just watching a movie, I'm not going to pick it. I would pick Mission Impossible 2 if I tell the story, because I think the fact he does his own stunts and how crazy those stunts are, I think Mission Impossible 2, I think that's when he's on the side of the wing of the plane, if I remember correctly. Or maybe it's Ghost Protocol, I can remember. But
that's the thing. Part of it is that they blend together. And then which one are you picking? There's so many of them. I think that in terms of honorable mentions that we didn't include... anything stand out for you guys that you're Eyes Wide Shut? Nobody wanted to put that movie in there.
I don't need to rewatch that one a bunch of times. No, okay. Or, like, it's not like a fun casual watch. I mean, it would probably, if you're going with like most interesting, you're trying to like expand your mind, it's probably like Eyes Wide Shut, Magnolia. I'm not sure what else would be the third one that like
we'll repeat it on movie. Two, right? We'll repeat it on two. Mm-hmm. Top Gun, and what was the other one?
Jerry Maguire.
Uh-huh. Those are the only two we repeated on.
No Rain Man. How do you guys feel about Rain Man?
It got a mention, right? It got a mention.
Yeah, we're talking about the Academy Award nomination.
Yeah. Okay. Color of Money is a good one, too. People love that movie.
Yeah.
That's a hustling, pool hustling movie. I don't know.
Or sequel to The Sting, right?
Yeah, I think, is it technically that, or is it like a spiritual
sequel?
I think it's
a spiritual sequel to The Sting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Rock of Ages?
Anything where he does something that he clearly can't do, I'm into. Because he definitely has some behaviors in movies that I think I was listening to the Rewatchables a while ago, and they were saying that he's clearly never been to a bar. I don't think he drinks, but in A Few Good Men, he drinks in a way that no one would ever drink. And I think they were saying he goes to the bar and orders a beer, and she's right away and brings him a beer. It's like, that's not how ordering at a bar works. You can't say a beer. And he really does it's the Vin Diesel, he tilts it straight up, and it's just no one drinks vertical. You're not a hamster. What are you doing?
Rock of Ages, though, that's the unintentional funny that we were talking about.
Right. Okay. And I haven't seen it. So I wouldn't include it, obviously, but I haven't seen it. I've heard it's very bad.
I have a Tom Cruise question. So he's what, 57 now? I think
roughly, somewhere
Wikipedia
in there. Yeah.
Page. How do we think Tom Cruise is going to do when he can no longer be the leading man, stunt man, hanging onto the wings of planes? Like he's when he's like,
I'm not sure how he pivots.
Yeah, what does he pivot to? Tom Hanks has done it, right? But I don't know if Tom Hanks has done it.
Yeah, but Tom Hanks is never like an action hero, though.
I think Tom Hanks has run in one movie in his entire career. Like,
somehow, look at Bruce Willis I'm going to go down that path. Whatever Bruce Willis is going with. Yeah. Yep. I think the Tom Cruise path is starting to play the Jack Nicholson Colonel kind of role.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Remake A Few Good Men and Tom Cruise can play the Colonel Jessup role.
They were going to do that. Did you know that? That they were going to make it? Like, I think it was going to be a TV series or something. It was Alec Baldwin as Colonel Jessup.
Yeah, they did. It's called Jag.
All right, I think that was a successful career mixtape for Tom Cruise. And we all had different flavors. We all had different angles we came out of. We all told our stories. Very much enjoyed that.
I'm going to say Taylor learned to love Tom Cruise today.
He learned to tolerate. I'm looking at him. Okay. In that case, well, let's wrap up this part of the program and move on to Landon Donovan part two and let the Total Soccer Show guys take over here, Jared.
Yeah, well, so for our listeners, though, if you want to catch out the second part of this, you can grab it over at the Total Soccer Show, where we're going to do the exact same thing and break down Landon Donovan.